on average, boys are about 13 years old the first time they see pornography. Girls, around 14. But few studies exist about how it translates into behavior and whether it shapes the way teens talk about intimacy, masculinity, and power. Some violence and dating experts believe we need to change the way we talk to teens about porn and sex, starting by actually talking to teens about porn and sex. Our next guest is the co-creator of a high school course on porn literacy. Emily Rothman is an associate professor and co-director of the Violence Prevention Research Unit at the Boston University School of Public Health. Adults, use discretion if there are younger listeners present. Emily, thanks a lot for joining us today.
I'm really happy to be here.
Well, starting with the need for porn literacy, it sounds like, looking at the numbers, teens are looking at porn, many of them, whether we know it or not, right?
It's true. So if you have a child who's 10 to 17 years old in your life, for example, the chance that they've seen pornography in the past year is about 42%. And the chance that they've gone looking for it on purpose in the past year is about 15 to 20%. And that's based on research by colleagues of mine at the University of New Hampshire.
And explain for us, what is porn literacy?
So porn literacy is the idea, it basically takes off from media literacy, which is teaching youth or adults that they can analyze and evaluate what they see in the media and critically think about, you know, what's being produced and what kind of messages it's giving them sort of beneath the surface. And so the idea with porn literacy is you don't just have to take porn at face value. If you see it, if you choose to see it, you can also think about what you're seeing and think about sort of how it's constructed or put together and what that might be teaching you or teaching other people.
Yeah, the concern is, and kind of the unknown is, are kids learning about sex and what sex is from porn mainly or solely from porn? Is that right?
Yeah, actually, I've done a couple of different research studies, and there's also been a national study out of University of Indiana where they have found that a lot of kids, in fact, the majority of kids, say that porn is their number one sort of preferred way to learn about sex. And this is especially true because there are so many states, 26 states in the United States, don't mandate any kind of sex education through schools, and only 13 of those states in the U.S. require that the material taught in sex ed is medically and scientifically accurate. So if they're not getting it in school, don't really feel like talking to parents about something like that, and the internet's right there, it's kind of natural that that might be where they seek out information. So the problem is they, you know, they're sexually inexperienced, and they think that what they're seeing on the screen is reality or realistic. And we all, you know, people know that pornography is, you know, it's staged and it's created, and a lot goes into making it look a certain way, and teenagers don't always know that.
Right. So what kind of ideas could teens be getting, boys and girls, about sex if their only source of knowledge and information is the porn they get to online?
Well, you know, we've heard both in our classes and also from some of the research that I've done that from girls in particular, I think that they don't realize that they have a right to pleasure because so much of pornography is from that male perspective or designed for a male view. So if that's what people are seeing, they sort of forget that, you know, females, girls are there too, and it can also, it should be about their pleasure. So sometimes they're not quite getting that. And the other thing is they get kind of unrealistic expectations. So I've had kids say to me, why are they making the, you know, why is the woman making those kind of noises? Why is she doing that? Or they'll see something biological happen that they didn't know happens or could happen and actually doesn't usually happen, and they'll think that that's normal and come to expect it.
Talking to Emily Rothman from Boston University's School of Public Health, talking about the idea of porn literacy. Kids, teens, often learning about sex in large part through the pornography they see online. She's talking about ways to talk to them about that, teach them about that. And Emily, the idea, I think, for a lot of parents, and I'm guessing educators, of talking to teenagers about pornography, that doesn't sound easy or productive. How do you start that conversation?
Yeah, well, I think an important thing to know is that we don't do this in school at all. So I think that it would be a tricky thing to probably get agreement from you know, parents or an entire school community that this is something that we want to do. So we didn't even try to do that. We made this a voluntary class that kids who are in a very specific after-school program could sign up for if they wanted, and they got parental permission. They did not have to have ever seen pornography for the class to be relevant. The class certainly does not show pornography. But what it does is it kind of talks about, okay, we all know the kinds of things that people see in pornography. And, of course, you know, 100% of the kids have at some point, at least in the classes that we've had, seen pornography, and they did have some image, you know, some things that they could talk about. So it isn't actually awkward because the two people who teach the class, Nicole Daly and Jess Alder, have worked for so many years doing dating violence and sexual violence prevention work. They have a really easy relationship with the kids, and they're able to talk about that kind of stuff straightforwardly with a lot of success.
Are teens wanting to talk about this and figure and sort out, truth from fiction in their porn consumption?
Yeah, you know, they really do seem to appreciate the opportunity to ask questions, to talk about it, to joke around, because it's an after school setting, and it is a little bit more casual, and it's okay that they are sometimes laughing and smiling and teasing each other. That's fine. And they seem to actually really listen and really tune in. There were a lot of aha moments, I think, for kids. And we actually did some quantitative research, like a pre-test and a post-test, where we asked them questions and were able to see if their attitudes or their knowledge really did change from pre-test to post-test. And we know that they did on a number of things.
Let's talk about what parents can do. I think a lot of parents either have had or fear having the moment where they realize their kid is or has been looking at pornography. How can parents broach these issues with their kids?
Well, you know, there's two different answers to this. So the first I'll talk about is teenagers. I think with teenagers, it's very hard for anybody to want to talk about their sexual desire, I guess most people, their own sexual desires, sexual fantasies, sexual orientation sometimes with their parents, especially when they're an adolescent. But parents can do a lot by keeping the conversation pretty broad and just consistently reinforcing messages about the right way to treat people, respecting boundaries, that consent for things is important, and coaching them towards healthy relationships in general. If the topic of porn does come up directly, parents can say that there are places where they can go. Scarleteen is, for example, a really good website to go to where they can get factual information about sex and even about pornography there. So there's some great resources. The other one is when really little kids see pornography, and I have had some people ask me about that. I think one thing that you can do, because parental controls are not a fail-safe, is talk even to little kids about the fact that, you know, sometimes grown-ups like to see images of naked grown-ups. That might pop up sometime on your screen. If it happens, I want you to flip that, whatever it is, iPad, iPhone, over and call for an adult. And you can sort of rehearse it with them so that should it happen, because sometimes it can inadvertently, that they know what to do and don't just get sort of sucked into watching it because they can't look away.
And then what are your thoughts on more accessible sex education for kids so that for many kids, porn isn't the only game in town when it comes to finding out about sex?
Well, that's what we really should be talking about. I think that's the main issue here. So for us, you know, the whole reason that we started this class is, as I said, we're interested in dating violence prevention, sexual violence prevention, and we just noticed that this was a great vehicle for having a conversation with kids where they were going to be really engaged and asking, you know, a lot of questions and really thinking about it because it was so fun and new for them to talk about pornography. But the bottom line is, we really wanted to talk about safety, respect, consent. So if the real crisis, I think, is that there isn't comprehensive sex education in every school and that they have to get this information from other places. So by putting it off limits, it sort of does make it that much more of a charged topic, I think.
Briefly, as you wrap up, Emily, there's a lot of talk about consent in American culture right now with the Me Too movement. Do you see this as maybe an opportunity to start having these important conversations earlier for teens?
Absolutely. There is pornography that doesn't feature consent. There are some pornographers who, on purpose, make pornography that does show consent, and that's great. The majority of it doesn't, though. And so you can talk to the teens about, like, what aren't they seeing, and why might it be important that everybody get consent every step of the way before you try anything new during a sexual encounter. And so, it's a great way to sort of talk about consent and do that.
Emily, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for inviting me on.
That's Emily Rothman. She's an associate professor and co-director of the Violence Prevention Research Unit at the Boston University School of Public Health. She joined us to talk about what teens are learning about sex from pornography and why porn literacy education could help.